It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters. It is Thursday, so we'll have a bit of Parenting Express concerning the raising of young men. Shelley Goldberg a little bit later on in the show. Katie Pavlich will revisit the most famous story she's ever covered because there's a huge development in it from townhall.com. And we start with breaking news from Washington, D.C. Don't go away.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Yeah, he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
By these tariffs going into place, this gives us ability to come back to 100% capacity, investing over $100 million to our plant, and over 300 and some odd jobs will be brought back to the communities. So I'd like to say thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was one of the steelworkers in attendance at the signing ceremony about an hour ago. In the White House, it was actually the Roosevelt Room where they did it today because they had a few more people attending than they normally do on some of these proclamations. But the natural gratitude of the steelworkers was understandable there. The debate over what the president talked about has been raging for a couple of weeks since he first announced that he is considering and now has signed into effect tariffs on suppliers of foreign steel. Kevin McCullough welcoming you to a very busy hour. A little bit later, Katie Pavlich will be joining us. She is the authority, the, in my estimation, no holds barred, strongest authority on the issue of Fast and Furious, one of the first true huge scandals of the Obama administration. And there has been a surprising, historic, amazing development in that story. Hardly anyone else is discussing it today, but you will hear it from the reporter that broke the most news about it, so much so that there were people sent to intimidate her repeatedly during the reporting of the story over the years that she wrote on it, and eventually turned it into her best-selling first book as an author. So we will delve into that, and then Shelley Goldberg a little bit later on today as well. It also happens to be International Women's Day. Okay, yay. So back to the White House. The president saying this just in the last hour.
The American steel aluminum industry has been ravaged by aggressive foreign trade practices. It's really an assault on our country. It's been an assault. They know better than anybody. Other countries have added production capacity that far exceeds demand and flooded the world market with cheap metal that is subsidized by foreign governments, creating jobs for their country and taking away jobs from our country.
That is all 100% true, by the way, and it's part of the reason why I think this tariff discussion has been really legitimately, bogarted by the free trade people that have talked it up, because there's a continual discussion about what it will do to manufacturing and other segments, but almost ignoring the fact that our own capacity to produce raw materials, steel and aluminum in particular, has been devastated over the last series of decades. The president said in his announcement today he's been talking about this for 25 years. He's one of the few people, I will say he and Rick Santorum were one of the just a couple of people, maybe Governor Huckabee at times, but mostly it was Santorum and Trump that would talk about production capacity. And he made an interesting statement in his opening remarks today. He said that many presidents, most of them Republican throughout our nation's history, have remarked that without our own production capacity, we lack the real identity of a nation. If you can't produce your own steel, if you can't produce for your own national defense, you're not really a well-protected country. So as much as he's doing this for economic reasons and job creation in the steel and aluminum sectors, he's understanding that in increasing our capacity to produce these two products greatly enhances our ability to do what we need to do from a military perspective. Let me just give you a couple of examples. He talked extensively on the campaign trail about the need to repair our woefully under-repaired military. We need new boats. We need new planes. We need new armored vehicles for the land missions that the armies and Marines take. We need new equipment across the board. And as we need to get these materials from other countries, our position is one of weakness. We don't want to be at this place where we're needing other people to give us what we need in order to be able to produce it. We should be able to produce American weaponry from American resources. He drove that point home today. And for all the free traders listening to me that have kind of wondered what's been wrong with me the last couple of weeks as I've taken this fairly aggressive stance being for what the president's doing, I kind of had in mind all along that there was a Jedi mind trick being dealt into this deck of cards here. And he revealed it today. He revealed it today. In fact, I will be willing to bet, and Alex, let's do this tomorrow. Let's see how many major press reports actually run with any information from the president's announcement today that indicates that there's not a single country on planet Earth that will be required to experience one single penny of tariffs on their products. Because in his speech, the president threw this curveball right in the middle of it. And that is for any country on planet Earth that wants to forego tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the United States, there's a caveat. You work a deal with us. You work a deal with us. He said that some of our richest allies depend on our defense systems to help protect their continent or their country. Yet they're paying 25 to 50 cents on the dollar what it costs us to be there. He wants to see reciprocal value going both directions in every relationship we have. Now, that he's exempting Canada and Mexico from the very beginning. This is actually good news for the free traders because our biggest importer is Canada. Canada is where we get more of the steel than anybody else. But he also went right to the eyeballs on China. And he said, look, if you're going to charge us 25% import tax on our cars, we only charge you 2.5% in import tax. You got to give us some slack here. There's got to be reciprocity, reciprocal mirroring relationships that are fair across the board. You can't use 11 cent per hour child labor in China and produce enough steel in 1 month to match our entire nation's output for an entire year and then dump that steel into our country. We're not going to let you do that anymore. That's what the president's saying. Friends, for all of the people that have argued free trade, we have to have the cheapest. It's gonna ruin jobs in other sectors. Just watch what happens. There is not one single country, according to today's speech, and if the proclamation he signed mirrors the language of his speech, there will not be one nation on earth that will be required to pay the tariff. The question will be, will you come to the table and make the U.S. a favored nation in your relationships? Will you come to the table and say to the U.S., we will respect you again. We will give you the honor of paying the same amount as what we pay for access to your customer base in your markets. Right now, the president has looked at agreement after agreement. Okay, so Canada and Mexico, for example, North American Free Trade Agreement. He says if we can rework NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, we won't charge them any tariffs. If we can't come to an agreement, we're going to end the deal. So everything's off. He believes we're going to restructure NAFTA so that it's fair to America. Same thing in other relationships, country by country around the globe. And Secretary Lighthizer, who was on my show when we were at the White House, is going to be kind of the spearhead to talk to country after country to see in our agreements with you currently, what are you cheating us on? And how are we going to repair that so that then you can avoid tariffs on steel and aluminum? Friends, it's one of the most ingenious moves a president has made in my lifetime, because everyone on his side of the aisle, every every economic advisor. Stephen Moore on my very own show this week. Larry Kudlow on the weekends. Others have said, oh, woe is us. We're going to have a trade war. It's going to do this. You know what? We are having we're having a trade renegotiation. You come to the table, you play fair with the U.S., you're going to get to avoid the tariffs and the taxes. You don't even out your relationship with us and make it fair, then go ahead and pay them. And you know what? We're going to be fine with it because our economy is going to hum. We're going to create jobs and product, and we're going to do everything we can to be self-sustaining and self-sufficient. It is genuinely one of the most genius moves a president of my lifetime has ever executed, and it defies conventional wisdom across the board. This is a masterful play that President Trump has put into effect today, and I am thrilled that he's done it. All right, Kevin McCullough coming back with Katie Pavlich. Don't go away.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We're looking at about a 20-minute delay now on the city-bound side of the Holland Tunnel from the 1 and 9 approach, 5 to 10 minutes from the Turnpike approach, 15 minutes going back into New Jersey. About 5 to 10 minutes on the outbound side of the Lincoln, 20 to 25 minutes on the city-bound side of the Lincoln. Not a bad ride with the George Washington Bridge. If you're trying to get to the outbound GW Bridge, northbound West Side Highway, really not bad coming off 12th Avenue all the way up. Southbound West Side Highway, though, in the lower 40s, there is a crash being worked on. FDR northbound slows from the 30s up into the 90s. Deegan northbound slows RFK Triborough Bridge up to 149th Street with a crash. And then southbound we're slow Fordham Road into the Cross Bronx. On the westbound Cross Bronx, a little sluggish, but not terrible tonight. From the Bronx River Parkway over to the GW Bridge, eastbound heavy off the bridge, out towards the area of 3rd Avenue, then the pace definitely does pick up for you. In New Jersey, 280 eastbound, a slow ride from the Parkway, out towards the Stickle Drawbridge. Parkway, Turnpike, 80, really not too bad of a ride. A little slow on 24 east into 78. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Larry Elder says it's time to end the Russia investigation.
Talking to you, yeah. I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Well, I have not had a drink.
You haven't had a drink, so that's
no.
Not.
No.
So I just, because it is the talk.
Is this a joke? For 13 months, the Democrats have been looking for smoking gun of collusion. 13 months! They found nothing!
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Joe Walsh at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Every week, right here at Kevin McCullough Radio, we get the honor of having Mr. Mike Connors answer a question from the mailbag as it relates to estate law and elder care. And Mike, this week, Eugenia from Bensonhurst writes, how does paying estate taxes at my death affect my heirs' income tax liabilities in the rental properties that they inherit? Good question, Mike. What's your answer?
Yeah, that is a very good question. A lot of people really don't understand the consequences. One, there's no estate tax in New York under $5,500,000. So one, the estate would have to be over $5 million. But assuming it is over that and it's a single person, because whatever goes to a husband and wife is tax-free, let's say you have an estate and you do pay the estate tax on a $6 million estate and it's rental properties, you get to depreciate the value of the properties at date of death over the course of, let's say, 40 years, not quite. And which means if, let's say, you inherit a $1 million property, the first $25,000 of rents go tax-free to the heirs for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's a tremendous tax break to inherit property. Hopefully, we can arrange things in such a way we're not paying the estate tax by squeezing under $5.5 million. And, of course, if we have a husband and wife, we can get $5,500,000 out for the wife in a trust, $5,500,000 out for the husband in a trust, and take advantage, you know, in effect, have your cake and eat it.
Yeah. Well, friends, these are great questions. And if you have questions, Mike Connor's entire team is ready to help you. They're standing by even on snowy days or sunny days. 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. And of course, you can ask Mike Connor's your own questions at MikeConnors@gmail.com. And don't forget to listen to him this weekend, 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and 6 p.m. on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano. Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, it was very early this morning. My train was delayed like crazy getting to the outer boroughs last night. And then once I was on my actual property, we had so much snow that I could barely get my four-wheel drive vehicle to my garage. Once it was finally in, then I had to. It felt like one of those wilderness scenes out of a film where you're literally walking like waist high snow. Not quite, but it was. I was too tired to go to bed and too angry to go to sleep. So what I decided to do was start surfing around on the news last night. And when I came across this next story, I really did think, man, there is potentially something here that could be rather historic. And I want to ask my next guest about it, because I think she is the, in terms of the publishing world, the authoritative expert on the matter of a simple little controversy during the Obama years called Fast and Furious. Her book was named the same thing, Barack Obama's Bloodiest Scandal and Its Shameless Cover-Up. I hope it has a big resurgence of sales actually today in light of some of this news. But this is the headline. DOJ announces Fast and Furious documents withheld by Eric Holder will be released. Katie Pavlich broke that news on townhall.com, where she is an editor, also a Fox News contributor, and the author of the aforementioned Fast and Furious book. Katie, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Thanks for having me on the show, Kevin. Great to talk to you.
So when you got this news, because no one researched this story, I think, any more in depth than you did, and I say that with all genuine sincerity, a lot of media had access to the same information. You're the one that spent years, it seemed like, going story by story, issue by issue, document by document through what was available, and you really put together a really damning picture of what happened. But now that this potential revelation has come out and these yet unseen documents are out there, as mm-hmm. someone who knew what was already in the public domain, what went through your head this morning?
I was very shocked that this was happening for a couple of reasons. The first is that, you know, departments of justice, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, typically don't reopen investigations or go back through what they would consider old scandals, because they don't want the person who comes before them to do the same, or after them to do the
sure.
same. Attorney General Jeff Sessions had expressed before that he wasn't interested in releasing these documents. He was going to allow this lawsuit from the Oversight Committee that's been in the court system for a very long time to play out, see what the judge said about whether the documents needed to be released. But the interesting timing here is that Kent Terry, who is the brother of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, who was killed as a result of Operation Fast and Furious under the Holder Justice Department, was on Fox and Friends on Tuesday morning and reminded President Trump that he made a promise to their family about getting those documents released. And he called on the president to get them released. And on Wednesday, they were released. So I think that the president probably made a phone call over to Jeff Sessions and said, it's time to let them out. Now, they haven't been publicly released yet, and I think it'll be a little while because they have to wait for the judge to officially rule on the case in favor of releasing them. And then the Oversight Committee will likely do a report, and then they will also release the documents along with that report.
So for people that are... Yeah. So for people that are listening, Fast and Furious was a controversial program that allowed basically the U.S. to traffic high-powered, dangerous weapons into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. How did it work?
Yeah. So long story short, the Justice Department, which oversees ATF, and oversaw Operation Fast and Furious, sanctioned the illegal sale. They knew that men working for Mexican cartels, Mexican narco-terrorists in states like Arizona and Texas, were going into gun shops and purchasing hundreds of AK-47s. ATF knew they were doing it on fake IDs and with cash. And then they allowed them to take them to Mexico. And they claim that they were doing this because they wanted to track the guns and to, you know, to see where they would go in, inside the hierarchy of the cartel. But that narrative broke down pretty quickly because out of the 2,500 plus, you know, AK-47s, 50 caliber rifles at one point, you know, one of those Fast and Furious guns was used in El Chapo's lair to take down a helicopter. Only two out of the 2,500 guns actually had a tracking device. And once they got caught, because Brian Terry was killed, they then started covering up the program because nobody was supposed to talk about it. Nobody knew what was going on. And all along, they had been blaming U.S. gun dealerships on the border for being responsible for this Iron River, as Eric Holder and Janet Napolitano classified it as, of guns going into Mexico, and therefore we needed more gun control in America because we were responsible for all the bloodshed. When really it was ATF telling these dealerships, look, we have this under control. You just need to work with us in an intimidating way because they obviously approved their license to operate, so they didn't really have a choice. And then they lied to them and said that the guns wouldn't be going into the wrong hands, and they absolutely were. And these dealers expressed concern and were lied to repeatedly. And so when this happened, you know, Eric Holder, of course, denied knowing anything about it, despite memos addressed directly to him talking about the program. And ultimately, going back to the story, the news of that we're talking about, discussing, Eric Holder refused to turn over that documentation that's now going to be produced. And he was held in contempt as the first cabinet member in U.S. history by both Republicans and Democrats in Congress.
Pretty amazing stuff. And for the first cabinet member to be held in contempt to also be the attorney general is, I think, rather shameful. But if people are just following what you just told us, the kind of the Jedi mind trick here is Obama was very anti-gun. His obviously, right, the Democratic Party is very anti-gun. What they were basically doing was running a con on the American people to say, look at the guns that are creating all of this damage. And then pretending as though it was just the gun dealers that were the problem,
right,
when in fact they were forcing the flood of guns to be channeled through those shops and into the hands of these dangerous killers.
Right. And ATF held press conferences to talk about how there were too many guns from these gun dealerships going to Mexico, when the exact same dealerships were being forced by ATF to comply with this program. ATF worked with the Washington Post. And ironically, the story was published the same day in December 2010, which is so long ago now, that Brian Terry was killed, talking about how we have this problem of American gun dealers.
Katie, can you stay with me for six more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, because I feel like we've just scratched the surface, and I really want to get down to what does it mean. What could these documents actually tell us? And I have a feeling you have some insight on this. We're talking with Katie Pavlich. She's the news editor at townhall.com. And also you see her all over the Fox News Channel as a contributor there as well. And she's one of our very own Salem Best. We're glad to have her. It's Kevin McCullough. Stay with us.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have partly cloudy skies and 38 degrees on this Thursday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Officials say a faulty cable caused flames and ensuing panic at a Manhattan subway station. It happened around 4:30 yesterday afternoon at the 96th Street 123 train platform. Witnesses recount seeing flames, smelling smoke, and hearing a loud rumbling sound. Chaos unfolded when many rushed to the exits, some tripping and falling. FDNY says one person suffered minor injuries as a result. Airlines are very busy today, catching up after yesterday's snowstorm in the Northeast halted thousands of flights. Scott Pringle brings us the latest.
Well, the airport does seem pretty busy here. Thousands who were scheduled to fly out the day of the storm waiting for their rescheduled flights, like Tracy.
We were supposed to go on a military flight to Texas, and I got here and everything was canceled. So I had to stay here overnight.
Where'd you sleep, on a cot?
No, a little couch.
You tired?
No, actually, I slept.
Others, though, look tired and frustrated as they scramble to book hotels, change their plans, and go back and forth with airlines on flight options. At Newark Airport, Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Thank you, Scott. In sports, Nets travel to Charlotte. It's Big East Tournament action tonight. NCAA Men's Big East Tournament action tonight. Seton Hall takes on Butler right here on AM 970. The Answer, opening tip around 9:30. Hockey Devils host the Jets. Rangers are in Tampa Bay. The Islanders travel to Edmonton to battle the Oilers. Taking a look at the traffic across the Hudson River, we're looking at about a 15-minute delay coming into town at the Holland Tunnel, about 10 minutes now going back to New Jersey, 20 to 25 minutes on the city-bound side. Taking a look at your forecast, mostly cloudy skies tonight, overnight low of 30. Morning snow showers tomorrow, then cloudy skies for the afternoon, high of 43. Mostly sunny skies on Saturday with a high of 45. Sunny skies on Sunday, high of 44. And we'll have to watch the coast very closely for possibly another nor'easter knocking on our door late Sunday night into Monday, but right now it's not looking like it'll happen. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Win a 1 ounce gold coin from Landmark Capital on April the 2nd. How? Go on am970theanswer.com to register and find out how. But for each person that does, Landmark Capital is also going to supply you with a 2018 financial survival kit valued at over $180 all on its own. The winner will be announced during my show, Kevin McCullough Radio, and of course you can listen to David Mondays on Money Monday on Kevin McCullough Radio. Register now at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
Eye on Real Estate, New York's longest-running show on real estate, answers everyone's questions, even if you live in California.
Are you calling from L.A.?
Yes, I am.
Dottie Herman, CEO and president of Douglas Elliman Real Estate, and her expert team will help you through the ins and outs of property ownership.
We have great listeners, a great audience, and a great team of professionals.
Call with your questions, 866-970-9622, every Saturday morning starting at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
All right, to all of our listeners out there who are age 75 or older and own a $100,000 life insurance policy or larger, I want you to get a pen and I want you to write this information down. If you're age 75 or older and have a $100,000 or larger life policy, did you know you can convert that life policy into cash right now? I'm not kidding. You can turn your life insurance policy into cold, hard cash. Now, I know the economy's been a struggle for many. People need cash. They need it right away. And you can get cash right away for your life policy. If you're over 75, you have a $100,000 or larger life policy, I want you to write this number down and give these folks a call. It's all free. Get rid of those insurance premiums. Stop paying those. Turn that policy into cash. Write this number down. 844-WE-BUY-75. Use the cash to pay bills, medical bills, whatever. Call 844-WEBUY-75. That's 844-WE-BUY-75. Call now. Brought to you by Golden Opportunity.
AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Did you know it's International Women's Day? Did you care? I kissed my wife goodbye this morning and picked up my baby girl and gave her a kiss on the cheek and told both of them that I loved them and that I hope they had a great day. It's the same thing I do every single day. I don't know what International Women's Day is supposed to be different other than it's just International Women's Day. Well, Katie Pavlich, maybe you can tell me, what does International Women's Day mean to you?
I don't know. I reject this women's group think and that women are supposed to...
Did you celebrate by going to the range and taking some target practice or something today?
If I had the time, I would go today, but I actually am doing that this weekend with a bunch of girlfriends. So
there you
go. Celebrate that way.
There you go. It's your International Women's Weekend at the gun range.
Right.
That's actually the kind of party I could fully support if you guys were
absolutely
looking
women's
for,
empowerment.
That's right. Okay, so we're talking about the Fast and Furious story, and you were talking about the ATF press conferences, and of course there was much kind of condemnation from let me be clear the White House at the time, and Eric Holder always condescending on everybody that he ever spoke to, and it was the guns, the bad guns. When we began to find out that these guns that they had flushed through this program were actually killing Americans, this was really when the wheels started to come off. So what happened in that next season, for instance, after Brian Terry's death? And I think there were a couple of other guns that we found that were traceable back to the program.
Right. Yeah. So the FBI and ATF covered up the fact that these guns were used in his murder, and refused to release the incident report detailing what kinds of guns were used. And it took a whistleblower, ATF agent John Dodson, who put everything on the line, He spoke out first to Cheryl Atkinson, who was at CBS News at the time, to talk about the fact that they were running guns into Mexico, and as a result, they got a Border Patrol agent killed. And then a couple of years later, Judicial Watch did some FOIAing in Arizona and found that a bunch of these guns had been found at a crime scene in Phoenix. And that's the problem with them losing all the guns, is because the only way that you find them is when they're left at blood-stained crime scenes. But
right.
I want to go back to the story of that we're discussing now, of these new documents being released. President Obama asserted executive privilege over these documents hours before Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress. And the narrative was that this was a low-level rogue program run out of the Phoenix ATF office that wasn't approved at the highest levels of DOJ, when all of the email evidence showed that it absolutely was. And looking at, the reasons why these documents were withheld, and the fact that President Obama had said he knew nothing about it, and yet then asserted executive privilege, I'm interested to see if there's any communication with the White House. There was one White House official who was involved in Fast and Furious. I want to know what the extent was of Eric Holder himself being involved in the cover-up and the news coverage. At the time, his press PR lady at the DOJ, the public affairs officer, was going after people like me and other reporters, and sending information to Media Matters for hit jobs on us so we would stop reporting the story. So I'm interested to see what they were hiding and what was so important for President Obama to put under executive privilege.
Was that purge part of the reason Cheryl Atkinson lost her job at CBS?
She didn't lose her job. She quit, but she said she quit essentially because the real stories that she was telling, whether it was Benghazi or
right.
Fast and Furious and pushing on those things, weren't getting airtime.
They weren't letting her bring the stories as she was reporting them to the air, and so
right.
they eventually
yeah.
were able
said,
to kind of push her
up.
But yeah, well, it's interesting. We're speaking with Katie Pavlich, who wrote the authoritative, historical record of what happened with Fast and Furious. And if you haven't gotten a copy, you should. It's been out a few years, but. All those things that you said you're interested to know, Katie, does your inner hunch tell you that some of that's going to be answered in these documents that now Jeff Sessions has agreed to unveil?
I hope so. I mean, I hope that they don't just release a bunch of documents with redaction, because that's been the MO from DOJ on this issue. I would hope that the Trump administration would be a little more transparent in terms of what actually went on and who was responsible. Unfortunately, I'm cynical in the sense of I don't necessarily think anyone's going to be held accountable for what happened. Everyone who was involved at ATF, besides the whistleblowers who brought this to our attention, was either shuffled around or promoted at ATF. None of them were fired. And certainly people at DOJ weren't fired. And you have President Obama saying just a week ago or so that his administration never had any scandals that were embarrassing to them. But I think that, a dead Border Patrol agent and thousands of guns going to narco-terrorists who then killed hundreds of Mexican citizens is pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, and then you're using that as the groundwork for your argument that we got to get rid of guns amongst law-abiding Americans.
It's our fault.
It's so insidious
fault.
The way right. the dominoes all fall, and it wasn't just this. This was an early one, but then you had Lois Lerner, and then you had there was just controversy after controversy, and for him to say that a couple of weeks ago was really absurd. Katie Pavlich, congratulations on great reporting. Thanks. We do hope that you
Thank
find
you.
The answers that you're looking for, and we'll talk to you again
Me
when you
too.
Do.
Me too. I hope the Terry family gets the answers they're looking for. That's what
Amen.
Really matters here.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Mike Gallagher thinks arming teachers is a no-brainer.
Of course teachers who are already comfortable with guns and are capable of handling guns, who will be willing to go through additional training and scrutiny and vetting, of course they need to be able to be armed. It's not even a close call.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. New York is nearly impossible to afford. And just when Washington cuts our taxes, Governor Cuomo's budget would snatch that savings away from us. It makes life more expensive with $1 billion in taxes on everything from health care to online shopping. Reclaim New York Initiative says enough is enough. Stop the lies. Stop the waste. Stop hiking taxes. Go to ReclaimNYNow.org. Tell your legislators, stop the $1 billion tax bomb. ReclaimNYNow.org.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Starting Balance of Nature, I felt it the first month. I felt different. It made such a difference that now I wake up, my head feels clearer, I have more energy. Very rarely does my body cramp up anymore. It's the best thing. It's just amazing. I don't know what to say. I just would not be what I am today if I didn't start Balance of Nature.
I'm planning on taking this the rest of my life because until I started taking your stuff, I never took as many fruits and vegetables in a day as I get through you guys. You know, I'm very, very, very satisfied.
My pain and my it went away. I swear to you that that's the truth.
When you call, use discount code The Answer, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code The Answer.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home? What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors and Sullivan in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500 or ConnorsandSullivan.com.
Hey, just ask your delivery guy. Or the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Or the guy who laid the highway for the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Ford Commercial Vehicles can handle the job. During commercial vehicle season, save on Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, Super Duty, and Medium Duty trucks. Ford Trucks and Vans. Year after year, America's best-selling line of commercial vehicles because they're built Ford tough.
Claim based on IHS Market calendar year 1985 through 2017. U.S. TIP registrations excluding registrations to individual. See your dealer for details.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Look around, look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around, and how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, it's an interesting day. Yes, I've been kind of tongue-in-cheek making fun of the fact that it's International Women's Day, as did my last guest, Katie Pavlich, without any, she doesn't apologize for it at all. Because I think that we have gone down a road that is so far literally around the bend on some of this stuff. The term toxic masculinity is being thrown around all the time. In the last 24, 48 hours in the news cycle. And it's because of, we know why, the Me Too and the Time's Up and all this other stuff. But there's this real intense push to literally neutralize the effect of men in society. And it's one of those things that is catching the eye of several people. Tucker Carlson on Fox News has started a new series. And my next guest was telling me that she had seen some of it and has encouraged me to check it out. Shelley Goldberg, welcome back to Kevin McCullough. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I did see it.
Well, I was just going to ask. So when you hear the term toxic masculinity and the idea of like the International Day of Women and some of where the, you know, the Oscars were this last week and all of this, it seems like women are not just treated, you know, equally, but in many ways celebrated in the eyes of sometimes our children much more than what men are celebrated as. And is that causing problems for our young boys that we're trying to turn into good men?
You know, Kevin, I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is our boys are having a real difficult time. And it's not just a crisis of men. It's a crisis for boys. And today is really about asking questions. Maybe we don't have all the answers, but it's really thinking about what's going on.
Sure.
And when I was watching Tucker last night, there's so much turmoil and pain and sadness in the world of boys and young men. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, ourselves why. And when you hear toxic masculinity, I can't imagine for an adolescent or a young adult, a young boy, that that feels good to them. So some of Tucker's, you know, the stats that I heard the other night that were absolutely sobering, Kevin, is that 77% of all suicides are men. 90% of all prison inmates are men. Mostly it's boys who are being medicated in school for ADD, ADHD. Testosterone levels are down. Competition is discouraged in school. We see that now all the time. And what I'm really concerned about is there's less recess in the schools, very often because of the Common Core standards and the Common Core curriculum. And boys need to move. They need that time more than anything, you know, for recess or to go to the gym. And that's what's being taken away in a lot of schools.
Yeah. So, one of the things that my 7-year-old does every day when he gets to the school ground, we just had a staffing with his team this last week. He has a little bit of time before the first period. He goes and he tries to jump on the trampoline or, run around the gym a couple of times or do he needs to physically kind of get some of that energy out of him before he's ready to sit and open the book in that first class.
Without question. And that's so natural and so natural for a boy, for a man. And the fact that you recognize it as a dad is wonderful. Just wonderful. By the way, what I see and I'm concerned about is I don't know if it's something you're seeing, but on the commercials on television, more and more men are being increasingly shown as imbeciles or very ineffective, and I think that's a terrible role model for young boys.
Oh, there's no question. And not just on commercials, in mainstream characters of major shows. I mean, most dads now on TV are just thought of to be as complete idiots.
Okay, so think about our boys. Think about young men who are looking for role models, and they're looking at the culture in movies, TV, and what do they see? If that's a reflection of themselves, that's not going to make them feel very good about themselves. I also think divorce, Kevin, which is more and more commonplace, you know, in the culture.
Right.
Girls can express how they're feeling more easily than most boys. That's a major difference between boys and girls. And so I think that there are boys there in tremendous psychic pain when there's a divorce or a separation, and they're unable to express it as easily as girls, and I think that causes even more problems. So we've got a lot of things here that to really help our young boys with. And so here are some suggestions.
Okay.
One, just exactly what you said, provide tons of outlets for high activity for your child, whether it's before school, on the weekend, after school. Boys need activity. And when it's taken away in a classroom, that's problematic for boys. Also, you want to help boys develop an emotional vocabulary so they can better express how they're feeling. And by the way, Kevin, boys are not usually comfortable when you ask them the question, how are you feeling?
Right.
Right? A better way to phrase it would be, what do you think? What would you like to see, or how would you like to see this situation improve? Or why do you think you're so angry? Or what do you think we could do too? But to just look at a young boy and say, how are you feeling?
Right.
Is not going to get you where you want to go.
It's very counterintuitive because boys are very strategic, and so they're constantly thinking of strategy and of game plan and of action steps and of, I mean, you don't have to teach boys these things. That's just who they are.
Natural, yes. Problem solving, consultant, yes, yes, yes. And that's what you want to build on. So I just, after listening, you know, to this wonderful album, I'm suggesting that everybody see if they can find it online and view it. And it's just a wonderful series, and it really speaks to the inner life of boys. And I'm recommending a book, Raising Cain, Protecting the Emotional Life of Boys by Dr. Michael Thompson, filled with just great information.
Well, it sounds very practical, and I think that you're spot on, Shelley. In fact, I feel so strongly about the need to grow healthier boys that of the three books that I wrote, my center one was not about politics. It was about the idea of how to develop habits and pair them with character traits for young men. And it was kind of written as a guide for parents, but single moms really got a lot out of it, because when you don't have a dad around, there's that need to have those things emulated and kind of sewn into your kids' lives. And it was called The Kind of Man Every Man Should Be. Friends, you can still look that up on Amazon.com as well. And, of course, the one that Shelley just recommended, Raising Cain, Protecting the Emotional Life of Boys by Dr. Michael Thompson. Shelley Goldberg, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for being here. This is Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Starting to get a little busy here in New Jersey on the Parkway, traveling northbound. We're slow from exit 136 up towards exit 138 with a crash being cleared. Southbound, we're slow 142 down towards the area of 137. And we're slow both ways on 280 right near the Parkway. Still slow on 78 westbound as you go west of Route 24 out through the Berkeley Heights area. 22, really not a good alternative through that area. It's very slow through Plainfield and then heading out into the Greenbrook Township area. We're looking at some delays on the western spur of the turnpike coming southbound to 15W. No delays into the eastern spur. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson River, here are the very latest numbers, my friends. GW Bridge, city downside, upstairs, about 5 minutes. Downstairs, you're fine. Lincoln Tunnel, 20 minutes in, 5 to 10 out. Holland Tunnel, 10 minutes in from the turnpike approach, 20 from 1 and 9, and about 10 to 15 going back into the Garden State. Checking your ride here in Manhattan, northbound West Side Highway, more stop and go from the 90s up to the GW Bridge. FDR northbound slows from the 30s to the RFK Triborough. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, this is Michael Riedel of the New York Post. Don't miss my show on the town here on AM 970, The Answer, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. It is brought to you by The Iceman Cometh, starring Denzel Washington. This wonderful, brilliant Eugene O'Neill play is being revived on Broadway this spring for 14 weeks only. Previews begin March 22nd, and the box office is officially open. Now, Frank Rich, a wonderful drama critic for The New York Times, has raved about The Iceman Cometh. He calls it a masterwork. Work, a word that is not invoked lightly, he said. Eugene O'Neill's tragic vision remains undiminished by time. The Iceman Cometh is a ferocious American classic that has lost none of its power to send one shaking into the middle of the night. Now, I know for a fact Denzel Washington has long wanted to star in this great Eugene O'Neill play. It is opening, as I say, in the spring for 14 weeks only. Previews begin March 22nd. Get your tickets at IcemanOnBroadway.com. That's IcemanOnBroadway.com. Don't miss Denzel Washington in The Iceman Cometh.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Haven't tried slam poetry yet. Motel 6, comfortable, clean, always low prices. Know what I mean? Are you traveling? Are you on the road? Make Motel 6 your humble abode. You will get a good night's sleep. I know this poem's not very deep. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on. So go and book online at motel6.com. Mic drop.
Amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad that you have been able to hang out with us this hour, and thankful for the great voices of Shelley Goldberg and Katie Pavlich and on this International Women's Day. Thank you, ladies. Thank you to every one of you who are listening, who are choosing to obliterate confusion and amplify truth and pursue clarity. It's been an interesting recent number of days in our city between the weather and some of this awful news. By the way, coming up very, very soon, the two brand new hit films that I really want you to know about. The film called Paul. It's really the story of Luke writing Paul, writing about Paul's life in the book of Acts. It's hitting theaters shortly, and it looks fantastic. I haven't seen it yet, but I did get to see the I Can Only Imagine sneak preview. And when is that screening, Alex, for the New York audience? March 13th, and it's at the AMC. And I think if you have to sign up through the website, etc. But I will be there for that. Friends, this movie is going to rip your heart out. If you are a father, if you are a family member that has struggled with a tough relationship with a dad, if you know people that did, there will not be a dry eye in the theater for I Can Only Imagine. So if you have not yet seen it, which you haven't because it's not out yet, but you're going to want to make plans to go see it. And if you can't see it at our screening, then make sure you get tickets for opening weekend because it's just going to be phenomenal. Speaking of International Women's Day, that terrible story that came across the wires a couple of days ago, you know, when we heard about that accident where that child was killed in the crosswalk, there were two children that were killed. And then we found out it was the son and daughter of a friend and of the Broadway actress Ruthie Ann Miles. She had been in the revival of The King and I on Broadway at the Lincoln Center. Someone using Ruth Ann's Twitter account tweeted today, "Thank you for your prayers over our families and holding us in our pain. We are extremely grateful for your kindness and generosity." Her 4-year-old daughter Abigail and Joshua Liu, son of her friend Lauren Liu, were both killed in that Park Slope accident. Ruthie is now out of ICU and healing, by all accounts, a miracle that she will be fine. But they said, "Please continue to pray for the Liu and Blumenstein families as we process the unthinkable and lay our grief in the loving arms of Jesus. Joshua and Abigail are now resting in heavenly peace and joy," said the Post. And I was just touched. Here's another woman that has done incredible things, and she is worth celebrating today on International Women's Day, the victim in that terrible, terrible accident just last week. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time on Kevin McCullough Radio.